We've all been looking for new approaches for dealing with homelessness, and Republican Senator Phil Fortunato had put into the budget a housing supply and affordability task force. He wanted to gather some objective information about how to deal with the problem. That was vetoed by the governor. So I asked Senator Fortunato to come into the studio and talk to us about that. He says what he's been trying to do is reduce the cost of housing by reducing the fees and requirements imposed by the government.
Well, the problem that we have is we have a lot of anecdotal evidence on stuff, a lot of stories. For example, people come to me and say, you know, I worked for the King County Housing Authority and they had a program that spent $2 million and housed one person. You know, we have industry studies where the BIAW, for example, comes out with a study and says, look, this is the cost of government. This is what the government adds to the cost of housing. Well, but, you know, elected people don't sort of take that because it's an industry study. So, okay, well, then let's do a government study. Let's have the government actually look at what does the government do to cause the cost, the increase to cost of housing.
So you wanted some objective information on how to make it cheaper to build housing.
Well, I mean, we have all kinds of stuff that adds. I'm on the housing committee, which was the reason for this. I'm a little frustrated because we're saying, look, the government causes this. We want to address that. Well, how do we know? That's not true. We have these other programs, blah, blah, blah. We spend a ridiculous amount of money on these housing programs, but are they working? Heck, I don't know. I mean, you have any idea how much money we spend on homelessness? This is the state programs and the counties. We spend $2.7 billion with the B dollars.
Biennium.
That was okay, biennium. And that number is a couple of years old. And that does not include cities. So in addition to that, if you added cities, Seattle and all the other cities, for example, you'd be over $4 billion.
Do you know what that comes down to per homeless person?
It was ridiculous, like $240,000 a homeless person. Well, I mean, you could write them all a check and say, hey, don't come back.
Have you figured out why? Why it costs so much?
Well, I mean, look at the programs that you're doing. What do you say to somebody that I had a program called the Shelter Act, right? Mm-hmm. I said, the purpose of this bill is not to end homelessness. The purpose of this bill is to get people off the city streets and out of the parks. That's all. It says, fine, Martin versus Boise said, you can't get them off the street unless there's a place for them to go. Right. Fine, I'll give you a place to go, give you a tent, give you a sleep bag, social services, drug and alcohol treatment. Now, after we do this, and then I made the mistake of saying police presence instead of security, 437 people testified opposed to that bill, which, by the way, is currently being implemented throughout the state through different cities and stuff. City of Tacoma, for example, in November, I think, they were on TV about their innovative approach. We're going to fence an area in. We're going to give them a tent. We're going to give them a sleep bag. So, I mean, it's exactly my bill is being implemented. And then I said, if you then camp on public property, it's a misdemeanor. You're going to go to jail. And now you're criminalizing homelessness. Well, various cities and all that stuff, they said, fine, if you camp on public property, $1,000 fine, 90 days in jail, $1,000 fine, 30 days in jail. Tacoma was $250 fine, 30 days in jail. So they're implementing my bill. Mm-hmm. So, but what do you say when you go and you say to, you know, I want to get a hearing for my bill and no drugs, no alcohol at these facilities. So if I, at taxpayer expense, are providing this temporary shelter, mm-hmm. no drugs, no alcohol. And the response I got back was there's no evidence that denying them drugs and alcohol helps them. Now, I stood there a little bit shocked and I said, but there's plenty of evidence that says if you allow them to continue on drugs and alcohol, it hurts them.
Yeah.
I mean, now when you're dealing with this logic, example, the housing first model works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Housing first is you provide housing for them. You provide that stability and all that stuff and on and everything is going to work out great.
No judgment of their
use
of alcohol.
Right, right. So we're not going to tell you can't have drugs and alcohol. Yeah. There's some programs do, by the way. I think the number that I saw was a 12% success rate. Now, that 12% success rate happens to coincide with the people that I would describe as down and outers. Now, these are people that a series of bad things happened. And, you know, they lost their job, their car broke down, whatever it is. They don't want to be poor. They don't want to be homeless. They don't want to be sleeping in their car. They might have a minimum wage job. Those people need a little bit of help.
And those are the people that he thinks we should be focusing on. We're going to have more from Senator Phil Fortunato on the housing crisis. Seattle's Morning News. Is the state itself responsible for the high cost of housing that's pushing people onto the street? Republican Senator Phil Fortunato finds himself increasingly frustrated that the state isn't making more progress on homelessness. And during the last session, he put into the state budget a housing supply and affordability task force, which would have looked into how to deal with homelessness and try to gather some objective information. But his idea was vetoed by the governor. One reason for that might be that environmental laws, like the Growth Management Act, could turn out to be the cause of the rising price of housing, or at least one of them. Laws like the Growth Management Act deliberately lock away a lot of land. So I asked Fortunato how this has affected, how he feels this has affected the overall cost of homes in the state.
We touched on the fact that the Growth Management Act drives up the cost of the land. The Growth Management Act also requires the impact fees. So now you've driven up the cost of the land, and you've added this new home tax, which, by the way, increases the value of existing homes. So that's why everybody else is paying more property tax, all the seniors and all that.
So by how much could you cut the cost of building a home if you got rid of that stuff?
Well, I mean, with the American Dream Home thing, it was $12,500 on the energy credits. It was building outside the urban growth boundary was another $50,000 on the cost of the land development. Giving them a property tax break similar to what they did for multifamily housing for 7 years, that's another $200 and something a month, $200 and $300 a month. So that's that. All of that adds up to be $600 to $800 a month in mortgage payment.
So you less. Could actually you could cut mortgage payments by $800 a month,
$600 to $800 a month,
and this is the thing that you propose to cut right. these fees so that you right. can build. And this is for single family homes, then.
Right. Now, the parameter that we put on there for to appease the Democrats was the Democrats want to keep that home in this because it was designed for 80% of AMI expense, so and to qualify to 80% of AMI, which would actually kind
of how much money is that a year?
$70,000 in King County.
So this would be for a home, household making $70,000 a year.
Right.
Could afford
right.
a home like this.
Right. And so they want to keep it in that range forever, as opposed to allowing them to get the equity in the house, which is the whole purpose of owning the house, right? So I set a limit. I said, okay, for 7 years, if you kept that house for 7 years and you sold it within that 7 year period, you could only sell it to somebody else who was mm-hmm. qualified at that 80% AMI. But if you sold it for 7 years and one day, it now becomes a market rate housing. Mm-hmm. A market rate. So you get whatever the
so
heck
you can
the
make some money.
There,
you can create
right?
some wealth.
I mean, and that's
yeah.
how you would be able to step up.
So what happened to that idea?
Well, it actually passed committee.
Mm-hmm.
We got it out of committee. We were we didn't get a chance to amend it to put some of the other things that we just discussed on. It never came.
So it didn't go anywhere.
Right. So, but that doesn't mean we're going to stop fighting for it.
No. Okay. But in other words, you proposed a way of actually reducing substantially the cost of getting a single family home, and they rejected it. All right. So let's talk about the other kind of housing, apartments. Right. Smaller units for people who may be single people or elderly people. How can you reduce the price of that kind of housing?
Well, what they've done is they've given them property tax exemptions.
Mm-hmm.
So that would so if you went into an apartment and you qualified for this lower income thing, mm-hmm. your rent would be different than the guy next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Saying because he doesn't qualify for that. So you would actually have a two-tiered rent system based on your income. And so they would get a property tax exemption for 12 years. That allows them to do...
Mm-hmm.
To
the developer
right.
has an incentive to house low-income people.
Right.
Basically.
Right. But after 12 years, that exemption goes away. And then so that's why you got to keep building more new houses.
Okay. So has that been working?
Yeah. That's actually been good. And as I said, the reason for that is you're getting private enterprise to build these units instead of, you know, low income housing authorities and stuff.
Well, is there
like
enough interest in that to actually make a big dent in the homeless population?
I think that is one of the things that in this last session and stuff that has been incentivized. And I think it was, we talked about, I can't remember whether we lowered it. We were talking about lowering it to 60% of AMI to be eligible for that lower rents and stuff like that. So that's something. I mean, the ADU deal, accessory dwelling units, right. Being able to have somebody convert, you know, a unit in their property and have a accessory dwelling unit or a mother-in-law apartment that you can maybe rent. And then give them property tax exemptions also if they rented to somebody that was lower income. But remember, these are state. This is when they subsidize this, it's your money.
Yeah.
You know, so you're in effect subsidizing it. So.
Right. Okay. But at least that works. Yeah, so now what?
Those are some things that in the next couple of years,
yeah.
I think those are some of the things that you're going to see that are going to be affected.
That's good. Okay, so now for the hardcore homeless population, people who are strung out on drugs or who just like the camping lifestyle, have you found anything that works for that group?
Well, hey, you want to live in the bushes, you just can't do it here. You know, you cannot tolerate this stuff. You know, I should have bought the letter that our governor wrote to Governor of Idaho about the abortion thing. I don't know if you heard about that, but one of the things that the governor of Idaho says is, we don't tolerate these things on these camps on the side of our road and all that stuff and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 years ago, I had a homeless, five bills, that were, and these are different. The things we were discussing are still based on those original five bills. The first one was graffiti. And I said, if you tolerate graffiti, you're going to get more of it.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, if you drove through Seattle, you saw tagging on one of the poles that holds up I-5. Now, hell, they think that any open space is a mural.
I know.
I go, this is ridiculous.
Grow ivy, Phil.
Yeah.
Grow ivy. They hate ivy.
So, but anyway, that's symptomatic. So now, if you accept these homeless camps on the side of the road, I mean, I did a bill called the Welcome to Washington Act, and that was supposed to be to pick up the litter on the side of the road, right? And that's based on you come into Washington from Oregon, there's a big sign, Welcome to Washington, and there's a couch on the side of the road, right? Yeah. So, got that passed. And but nothing's really happened. I tried to do another bill and said, pick up a leaf. You can't pick up the little stuff. How about the big stuff, the big debris on the side of the road? Just pick the big stuff up. And that made it out of the Senate, didn't make it out of the House. But if you tolerate these things on the side of the road, what is the incentive to these people to leave? And the governor said, you know, Senator Wilson and I were going to go camp on the side of the road because the governor made a statement that, if you camp on the side of the road, we'll give you an apartment. Right? So, okay, so all I got to do to get an apartment is camp on the side of the road? You know, you keep reflecting this like this is a housing issue. It's not a housing issue. It's a philosophical issue. You're tolerating these drugs. They want to legalize these drugs, right, as opposed to enforcing some of the drug laws. The best thing you could do for somebody who's strung out on drugs is put them in jail and get their act together.
Republican State Senator Phil Fortunato. Thank you, Phil.
So other than that, I don't really have an opinion.
As usual.